Who likes to wait? It's the title of my message this morning. I don't know a lot of people that like to wait. I'll admit I don't like to wait. Some people are a little more patient than others. I'm not one of those. Sometimes it may be an upcoming event that you're looking forward to and you just can't wait till it gets there. You know, especially true when you're a kid and you might be looking forward to something that you're going to get to do and then it seems like it takes forever to get there. In other instances, it may be something that you're not so much looking forward to that you want to kind of get behind you. Maybe it's a test at the doctor's office or something of that sort, and you're not really excited about it, but you just want to get it over with, and you're just waiting, and it's not much fun to wait. In our society, we seem to drive this mentality with sort of the instant gratification mindset. We want everything right now. If your internet speed is not fast enough, for just a little bit more money, we can increase your internet speed so that instead of having to wait 3.5 seconds, you can do it in 2.5. I don't want to have to walk into a restaurant, so please give me a drive-thru because I want to get in and out and get quicker. Walk into a fast food restaurant, you know, nowadays more and more restaurants are going to sort of one line and then taking people out of that line, but there's still some fast food restaurants you go into that have separate lines. And I don't know about you, but I'm always horrible at picking the right line. You know, I try to pick the shortest line, but invariably that ends up being the person that, even though they've been in that restaurant 3,058 times, they still don't know the menu. Let me see. I'm able to get behind that person without fail. If that's you, I'm sorry. I mean no offense by that. And today we see that spilled over into sports. How many coaches do we see fired just very quickly? If they're not producing a winner within a couple of years, people are ready to get them out, send them on. Some of you, well, I'd say most of you in here are old enough to remember name, even if you don't remember necessarily the teams a whole lot. A Hall of Fame football coach by the name of Tom Landry. Yeah, amen. There's some folks in here that remember that. Remember Tom Landry. What, do you realize that in today's culture, he would have been fired before he ever became a Hall of Famer because he didn't have a winner right away? It's amazing how things change, and our culture certainly feeds this. In many businesses, the bottom line is given consideration only and not the employee. If the employee is not quickly producing the way they want him to produce, then just move them out and get another employee instead of growing that employee and giving them time to produce. And I'm afraid in too many instances this has spilled over into the church as well. We've taken on the mindset within the church that everything has to happen quickly. That if we're not seeing growth quickly, if we're not seeing this happen quickly, folks, God's timetable is not our timetable. And I will readily admit I am not a patient person. But I have grown in my time in the ministry to realize that God works on a different schedule than I do. And we have to trust His timing. We have to trust that He will do things in His perfect timing. Do you realize that Jesus prepared for 30 years for 3 years of ministry? David was king for nearly 40 years and never built the temple. God lays a foundation. God does things in His timing. He has a plan and a purpose, and we can trust Him in His timing. So I want us to take a look at one verse in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and be reminded of the fact that it's worth waiting on God this morning. Isaiah 40, 31, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who trust or wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your love. We thank You that Your Word is absolute truth. God, forgive us when we ever take it lightly. Encourage our hearts today and remind us that You're worth the wait. God, help us to trust Your timing in things. As we examine this scripture this morning, open our hearts and minds that we might hear from You. And God, I pray right now that I might decrease, that You might increase. And may Your truth be spoken. It's in Your precious and holy name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So who likes to wait? This morning we're going to talk about waiting on the Lord and why it's worth the wait. So first of all, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, apparently Israel thought that God was too great to care about their needs, but Isaiah wanted to put that nonsense to rest. He wanted them to know that God does care about our needs, but sometimes we think we need things sooner than God knows that we need them. God's timing is perfect. Now, the translation I read from this morning says, but those who trust in the Lord, and the New American Standard, it says, yet those who wait for the Lord, we don't like waiting. I'm an impatient person, and I don't do well at waiting on much of anything. If someone tells me that they're going to meet me at a certain place at a certain time, I usually get there a little bit early because I don't want them to have to wait on me. And if they don't show up pretty close to that time and don't call me, I probably won't be there when they get there because I'm not good at waiting. I don't like to wait. Unfortunately, I have that tendency within me, and I don't know many people that like waiting at the doctor's office. I think sometimes at the doctor's office, they like to see how long you'll sit in the waiting room before you'll actually come to the counter and complain. And then once they get you into a room, I think some like to see how long you can stand there without emptying your bladder. Just saying, I think that may be a test. It's just a theory, Tommy. But sometimes we confuse God's silence for apathy instead of realizing that God is telling us to wait. God is not apathetic. God is not unaware. God knows what's going on. I have to admit that I can usually handle yes or no a whole lot better than I can wait. But many times it's in the waiting that God is teaching us. He has a perfect time and a perfect plan for us, and we have to be willing to wait on His time and His plan if we expect to walk with Him and know His blessings in the fullest. The people of Israel had seen God work in the past, and they knew that God had promised a Messiah, but many of them were not willing to wait on the Lord. Now, let me just say, okay, if they're looking for the Messiah, and they were, and Isaiah is one of the clearest prophetic verses toward the coming of the Messiah, this is still 700 plus years before Jesus came. So waiting was a real need, and trusting God's timing. They were impatient, and they chose to go their own way in many things instead of waiting on God. I suppose most of us either have had or have, still currently have dreams, but many people don't actually turn those dreams into reality. Larry Walters is among the relatively few who definitely have turned his dream into a reality. His story is true. What I'm about to share with you is a true story. You can look it up. You can Google it. I did to make sure, and it is, because it's crazy. His lifelong dream, Larry was a truck driver, but his lifelong dream was to fly. When he graduated from high school, he joined the Air Force in hopes of flying. Unfortunately, he had bad eyesight, so he was not allowed to fly. So when he finally left the Air Force, he had to satisfy himself with watching the fighter jets fly as they crisscrossed his backyard. As he sat there in his lawn chair, now when I say lawn chair, I actually looked at the pictures on this, and it was actually more of like what we would call a patio chair. And as he sat there, he'd just watch them fly over, and he got the idea one day that he wanted to be up there with them. So Larry went to an Army surplus store, and he bought weather balloons, and he bought more than a couple of them. As a matter of fact, he bought about 45 weather balloons. Now, as I understand it as the story goes, as I read about this, these are about 4 foot across, big heavy-duty spheres, and he attached these 45 balloons to his patio chair. You're with me here, all right? So you're already ahead of me. You know what? He inflated them with helium. He anchored this chair to his Jeep. Yep. Then he packed some sandwiches and some drinks and took a BB gun, anticipating that when it was time to return to terra firma, he would simply shoot out a couple of those balloons and start to drift his way back down to Earth. With his preparations complete, Larry cut the anchoring cord on his chair. Things didn't exactly work out like Larry intended, however. He didn't gently rise, he shot up. as if shot out of a cannon. And Larry didn't get just a few hundred feet off the ground. Larry went to 11,000 feet. At that height, he was afraid to shoot out any balloons. So he just stayed up there sailing around for 14 hours at a total loss for what to do. Eventually, Larry drifted into the approach corridor of the Los Angeles International Airport. A Pan Am pilot radioed the tower about passing a guy in a lawn chair at 11,000 feet with a gun in his lap. Wouldn't you have liked to heard that conversation? Now, LAX is right on the ocean, and at nightfall, the winds of the coast change, so at dusk, Larry began to drift out to sea. At that point, the Navy dispatched a helicopter to rescue him. But the rescue team had a hard time getting to him because every time they would get the helicopter above him, it would push his homemade contraption away from them. Eventually, they were able to hover over him and drop a rescue line with which they gradually hauled him back to Earth. As soon as Larry hit the ground, he was arrested. But as he was being led away in handcuffs, a television reporter called out, "Mr. Walters, why did you do it?" Larry stopped, eyed the man, and then replied nonchalantly, "A man just can't sit around." I promise you, you can Google that. That's a true story. I'm afraid sometimes we think as Christians that the walk in our Christian walk, that we're just sitting around too much, and we want to push things along. Now, while I would caution us not to excuse our laziness or apathy for waiting, we also need to not get ahead of God, and we need to wait on His timing. The word wait or trust can also be translated as hope, look for, or expect. Waiting is an expectant position. It is looking forward to what God is going to do with a willingness to go and immediately do what He leads us to do. I'm afraid that sometimes it's our disobedience that causes us to wait longer for an answer. Sometimes God knows we're not ready, that we're not going to respond the way that we should, so there's more preparation that has to happen. Other times, God knows there are certain things in our life that we need to continue to go through to grow. I know many of you share the same burden I have to see our church grow and to be what God would have it to be. And even within the midst of that, we have the tendency to want to get ahead of God. We want to sometimes even cast blame. Well, if this would happen or that would happen, or if we just do this program or do that program. The bottom line is we have to wait on God. The church is God's church, not ours. And we have to trust Him to grow it. If we look around, we'll see that God is building a foundation. That God puts together the foundation that He wants to. And God, a good tree that produces good fruit has to have good roots. There's another principle about a tree that we have to understand. For it to produce good fruit, it also has to be pruned. And sometimes there are things that have to happen in the life of the church for us to be pruned to be able to produce the fruit He would have us to produce. Sometimes in that process, God leads us to stop doing things we've been doing so that we can do things that we're already doing better. Sometimes God leads us to stop doing certain things so we can do other things that He's leading us to. But the thing that we need to be very careful of is that we never get to a place where we say, well, God, we're only going to do it if we can do it this way. It needs to be God's way, and it needs to be God's leading, and it needs to be in God's time. Waiting isn't easy. As a matter of fact, it's often one of the most difficult things that you will ever do. Just ask the wife waiting in the hospital waiting room on the husband having open heart surgery, how hard it is to wait. Just ask the person who's had the test, who's waiting to hear from the lab whether or not what was removed from them was cancerous, how hard it is to wait. Waiting is difficult. When it comes to our spiritual walk, when it comes to trusting God, waiting is a challenge. It's difficult, but God grows us in the midst of that waiting. God has not left you. He has not deserted you, but He's simply telling you to wait on Him, and are you honestly willing to wait on God? So we see that we're to wait on the Lord. Now, perhaps in this consumer-driven society, we would ask the question, well, what's in it for me if I wait on the Lord? Well, let's take some time to answer that. First of all, I want you to see he is worth the wait. He is worth the wait. Isaiah tells us four things that happen when we're willing to wait on the Lord. And as we look at this, we'll discover why he's worth waiting on. First of all, if we're willing to wait on the Lord, our strength will be renewed. Waiting on the Lord produces new strength in us. We need strength every day just to make it through this life. We must have the strength that only God can provide to make it through in this world. Samson, even though he had been rebellious and put Delilah ahead of God, still understood that the source of his strength was not his muscle. The source of his strength was God. You remember when he was in captivity and they were mocking him and they were mocking his God, what he did is he prayed to God. And even in the midst of that, was willing to give his own life so that God would be glorified in the midst of that and God's enemies would be dealt with. We can look to God and trust him for strength. David knew that he had to wait on God and God's timing. Listen, if David were full of himself, if he were impatient after he destroyed Goliath, he could have said, I just destroyed the giant. I should be king. But David knew God, and David walked with God, and he knew it wasn't God's timing. You'll recall that even after that, Saul pursued David. Saul tried to kill David, and David had opportunities to take Saul out, but he didn't because David trusted God's timing. He was willing to wait on God. I would ask you this morning, where do you need God's strength in your life to overcome adversity? Where do you need his strength in your life right now to help you deal with something that you're facing? Is there some struggle at work? Is there some struggle in your home? Whatever it is, look to God and trust him for the strength that you need. He is the source of our strength. Are you willing to seek God and to wait on his strength to renew you? I think it's so picturesque of God's power and strength that even in the armor that Saul wanted to place on David, that it was too much, that it was too big, that it didn't fit, because what David needed was not man-made armor, but what he needed was the strength of God. What you and I need is not the power of this world, not the stuff that man can make. What you and I need is only what God can bring to us, only the strength that he can provide for us. God can and will provide strength when we're willing to wait on him, but we must come to him and wait on him. Perhaps as a parent, you need God's strength today to help you deal with a rebellious child. They've broken your heart and you don't think you can go on with them. Maybe you need to remember how God has waited on you and your rebellious heart. He's been patient and he's been merciful towards you, even though you didn't deserve it. Ask God to give you that kind of love, and to love the way that he does, and to have the strength that only he can provide. No matter your situation, if you're willing to wait on the Lord, he'll give you the strength to face the day. So we can have new strength. But secondly, I want you to see if you wait on the Lord, you'll soar like an eagle. That's right, you're going to grow wings and fly. Well, not physically. But I want to say to you, honestly, spiritually, when you wait on the Lord, you will grow wings and fly. Spiritually, have you ever been around a fellow believer who was going through something that just absolutely stunk, something that was awful in their life, and saw them be able to display grace and to love God in the midst of that and to have joy in the midst of that, and then just thought to yourself, man, I'd be chewing my fingernails off. I'd be just fussing and complaining. How are they doing that? Can I tell you, the way that they're doing that is because they believe this verse. For those who wait on the Lord will soar like eagles. You see, while you're in the midst of that hurricane, while you're in the midst of that storm in your life, when you can trust in God and wait on him, he'll provide the strength that you need so that you can literally fly over that hurricane even though you're in the midst of it. That you can have joy in the midst of that difficult time. I'm not telling you that's easy, but I'm telling you that's taking your eyes off of the storm in life and putting your eyes on him and realizing that God has a purpose and a plan in that. You know that no matter how difficult it may get, no matter how beaten down you may feel, God will see you through. I don't know if you've ever watched an eagle fly, but it's a pretty majestic thing. I've been to a couple of places where they had eagles and you could stand, you know, pretty close to them and see them up close, and they're impressive just being still. But when they fly, man, that's impressive. Isaiah is telling us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that when we wait on God, we can fly above the storms of life. We can fly above the difficulties of life. Not that we're avoiding them, but because we have joy in the midst of them because of what God brings to us, because He strengthens us. So when we wait on the Lord, we have His strong wings to carry us through anything that we face. The third thing that Isaiah says, if we wait on the Lord, we'll run and not get tired. Now, I will have to tell you, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to remind you of this again. If you see me running down the road, please stop and pick me up because somebody is chasing me. I do not run unless I'm being chased. That's it. That's the only time I'm going to run. I don't like to run. You know, some people run, and man, they make it look so easy. They're so graceful in their running. I don't know. I probably look like I'm probably some sort of physical issue when I run. It's labor. I don't like it. But I do know from running in the past, way in the past, I do know from running in the past that the more you run, the longer you can run. So you have to build up to that. You know, if you were going to set the goal, and I'm not real sure why you'd want to, although I know some that do. No offense, I'm sorry, Kevin. He rides bikes and goes long distance, and his daughters like to run. I'm telling you, I don't run unless I'm chased. But if you were going to run a marathon, you wouldn't go out tomorrow and say, okay, I'm going to run a marathon right now. I'm just going to go. No, you build up to that. You do shorter runs. And then I had a friend who used to train for marathons, and he'd run the Boston Marathon, and he'd done all those kinds of things. And I know he would run several miles every day. And then usually on Sunday morning before church, he would run his longest distances. He would run 11, 12 miles and getting ready. You know, some days I don't want to drive 12 miles, much less run 12 miles. But if you're going to prepare for that, you've got to do that. You've got to build up to it. What Isaiah is telling us here is that as God grows us, as God strengthens us, as He develops our spiritual lungs, we can run farther and not get tired. But do you see the principle there? Because the only way to get to that point is to go through the running in the first place. Unless we're walking with God, unless we're spending time with Him, unless we're going through the trial and experiencing things along the way, we're not going to be strengthened. But as we go through those things, as we walk with the Lord, as we experience the difficulties, as we walk through the struggle, then we're strengthened, then we can go farther, then we don't get tired. The problem is too many times we quit. We give up. You know, the only thing that Satan loves more than a defeated lost person is a defeated Christian. The only thing Satan loves more than a defeated lost person is a defeated Christian. When things get hard, don't give up. God is growing you. He's teaching you. He's strengthening you. You get weary from the race when you stop spending time with God. I mean, I know in marathons along the way, there are usually water tables and there are even oftentimes food tables so that they can refuel and do those kinds of things to keep going on. Do you realize that when we're spending time with God, we're refueling every day? And even throughout our day, I mean, Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing. We need Him throughout our day. And we need that strength to renew us, to continue to renew us so that we can continue running. But folks, we must look to Him and we must have that time with Him on a daily basis so that we're renewed. Here's a problem that comes up sometimes. When we begin to listen to the advice of others more than we do to the advice of God, we become weary as well. I don't care how well-meaning Aunt Sally is. Aunt Sally's not the Word of God. And the God who loves you and knows you better than anybody ever will speaks the truth to you always. And you can trust His truth. Because even those on this earth who love you so much and still want the best for you, they're still flawed human beings. But God is the perfect Creator who wants you to have the very best in your life. To run the Christian race without getting tired is really no secret at all. It's no trick to it. You simply have to look to the source for your strength, the one who can actually give you breath in your spiritual lungs. You know, another thing that causes us to struggle in our Christian walk is discouraging people. I'm afraid there are some people within the life of the church who, even though the nominating committee never created the committee or put them on it, think they belong on the cold water committee. You know, this is people, when you're excited, they want to come and throw cold water on your face so it calms you down. You know, one of the worst things we do sometimes in the church is when somebody gets saved and they're excited, we say, well, they'll get over it. We don't want them to get over it. The problem is too many of us have gotten over it. We need not ever get over Jesus. And we don't need people in our life, and we don't need to listen to people in our life who constantly want to complain and gripe about what God wants to do. We need to let God lead. Another thing that keeps us from being able to go on in this walk and to run and not get weary is unconfessed sin. We have to confess it and deal with it on a daily basis. We don't have a day of atonement anymore because it already took place over 2,000 years ago. Jesus claimed the victory. It's settled and done. The writer of Hebrews reminds us once and for all. We were looking at Hebrews 10 this morning in my Sunday school class, and we brought up the reality that when Christ accomplished that, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Sat down because it was finished. It was done. He accomplished it all, and we can confess our sin to him and be renewed and strengthened by not allowing that to hinder us and keep us from doing what God would have us to do. Be sure that you're holding on to God and not on to sin in your life, and allow him to help you endure and to run this race with endurance. But finally, Isaiah says that if we wait on the Lord, we'll walk and not faint. Sometimes life comes at a fast pace. Sometimes we're running and things are going so quickly, and then God brings us to a slow spot. I remember, I've always been a fast walker. I walk fast. I'm not good at walking slowly. I'll never forget, we were with some friends a number of years ago now in New York City. And if we were going someplace, I'm walking to go to that place. That's my intention to walk. And he literally stopped me and said, you know, it'd be all right if you just enjoy some of the view along the way. When I was a teenager, and even younger, my grandmother, I remember, she walked slowly. Now, I'm not sure that she always walked slowly, although I have the suspicion that she always did, even before she got older. But I can remember as a kid, to slow down and walk with her, that took more energy than to walk my normal pace. I just felt like, oh, good grief. You know, can we go just a little faster? You know, just move. Sometimes in our Christian walk, God's calling us to slow down and to walk slowly with him, because there really is something along the way that he's showing us. And in our determined pace, we get ahead of him and we miss what it is that he's trying to teach us. Too many times our answer to dealing with a problem in our life is not to wait on the Lord, but instead to run from the problem. And God wants us to wait on him and teach us what we need to learn through that and walk slowly with him. That's what the people of Israel did when they came to the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb came back and said, man, we can take this. We got it. Our God is great. And they looked at it and said, but our enemy's too big. And we're just grasshoppers in their eye. We don't look like anything to them. They're not afraid of us at all. When Joshua and Caleb understood that they would be afraid of their God, of the one true God. I want you to understand that no problem in your life is insurmountable for God. No problem. And God has a plan and a purpose in it. No matter what you're facing, God can help you overcome. It may not be the way that you want to overcome, but God can help you overcome. He will see his people through if we're willing to wait on him. Don't you realize that God wants you to have victory in your life through him? Don't you realize that God wants this church to have victory through him? Instead of being a member of the Cold Water Committee and wondering what's wrong with this or what's wrong with that, ask God to help you see what part he wants you to play in the body of Christ, in this body of believers, to bring him glory. It's real easy sometimes for us to look and say, well, if they'd just do this or if they'd just do that, instead of saying, God, help me to keep my focus on you and to do what you've called me to do. Help me to walk with you. You know, it really is contrary to our selfish natures to be willing to wait for anything. It's hard to wait because we want instant gratification and we want it yesterday. But God doesn't work that way, and his ways are perfect. Have you honestly been willing to fill the role that God wants you to fill in the body of Christ? Have you been willing to wait on God to prepare you and to prepare this church for what he has in store for all of us? Waiting on the Lord can seem like a long process, but the rewards are great. The next time you're impatient about God's timing, I want you to ask yourself these two questions. First of all, ask yourself if God's timing is worth waiting on. I hope the answer is an obvious yes. But just ask yourself, is God's timing worth waiting on? God never once had to say, oh man, I wish I'd done that another way. There wasn't a single time where God, oh boy, I wish I could have seen that coming. I don't know about you, but there have been multiple times I've made decisions and I've said, man, I wish I'd have done that another way. Man, I wish I'd have seen that coming. God's never had to do that. His timing's worth waiting on. Then the second question is, ask yourself, is God big enough to overcome your concerns? When God leads you to something, he is going to see you through it. Too many times we get to something, we go, oh, that's just too much. I can't overcome that. You're right, you can't overcome it, but God can. Trust him to see you through it, because he will. There are things in your life right now that maybe God is working on, and maybe you've been praying for something and you just feel like, man, God's not listening. Can I tell you today, it may be that God's just saying, wait. And he's saying, wait. If God is saying, wait to you in your life, he's saying it because you need to wait. He's got a plan. Be sure that you've dealt with any sin in your life. If you confess that sin and you know you're seeking him and you're willing to do whatever he leads you to do, then wait on his timing to reveal it to you. He will. And when he does, he'll give you the strength to do what he leads you to do. Trust it to him. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. And the reality is, the things that we do that ultimately bring God glory are not easy, because they require God to intervene. And that ought to be what we want to do as a church. God, don't lead us to do anything easy. Lead us to do whatever will bring you glory. If we can do it in our strength, it wasn't God anyway. Let's embrace things that only God could accomplish for his glory. Maybe you're here today and you've never placed your faith in him. You've never asked God into your life. I want to say to you today, the only way you can know forgiveness and eternal life is by asking his forgiveness. He sent his son to die in your place. But he was more than willing to pay that price for you. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you've been praying and you've been praying and you've been praying and you just don't feel like God's answering. I want to tell you today, God is answering. Don't give up. Keep praying. Look to him for strength and trust that in his perfect timing, he will answer. He'll give you a clear answer, but wait on his timing. Trust him in it. He's not going to send you an email. He's not going to send you a text message. Not going to pick up the phone and call you. But if you're willing to listen, he'll speak to you. He'll make it clear. But let God lead. Trust his timing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for the reality that you're at work even when we, in our hurried pace, overlook your work in our lives, personally and in the life of the church. God, help us not in any way to miss you, and help us to trust your timing in things. God, forgive us when we want to run ahead. Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning that doesn't know you. I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness. But Lord, for each of us who do know you, if we find ourselves at a place in life where we're worried about your timing, God, where we're worried about what you're doing, I pray right now you'd help us to wait on you and to trust your timing. Do what you need to do in our lives and prepare us. And Lord, help us to respond immediately to your leadership when you lead. And Lord, help us as a church to be willing to go with you, to follow your timing and your leadership in everything that we do. God, whatever you need to do in our hearts during this invitation, we give this time to you. Whatever the needs are here in each life, God, you work in each one. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.